I'm in it for the long run, the minutes and the years. I'm in it for the long run, the hours and the days. I'm in it for the long run, the laughter and the tears. I'm in it for the long run, even though you're far away.
Well, hello there. This is Jim Rooney. Welcome back to this series of programs where I'm traveling through my more than 60-year journey in the music world. And the last time I was talking about how I came down to Nashville with a tape of my song Only the Best under my arm and Jack Clement, the famous cowboy Jack Clement, loved that song and he took me into his world and it changed my life really forever. I can't say enough about how it changed my life. So within a few months I was playing on Jack's own album. He made me his rhythm guitar player in his band Cowboys Ragtime Band and paid me and enabled me to stay in Nashville and get my foothold there. So let's continue on with the story, but I'm going to take a little detour back to Woodstock. Artie Traum, right after I played on those first sessions with Jack in early 1977, Artie Traum called up and he had organized another session of the Woodstock Mountains group, the Mud Acres group. And we were going to do another record for Rounder Records at the Bearsville Sound Studio, which I used to manage for Albert Grossman. And so I went up there and we had a great time. But there were a couple of new faces in the group, and that turned out to be pretty significant for me, too. And one of them was a fellow from Georgia named Pat Alger, who'd moved up to Woodstock and was playing with Artie. And here's Pat singing a song, Mason Dixon's On the Line, that really got my attention.
Well, I'm gonna make it home by Christmas, down among the Georgia pines, and sing a few songs about Jesus with a good friend of mine. You know Mama's gonna be in the kitchen baking up the pumpkin pie. I've been away so long that my accent's gone. Everyone's gonna wonder why. Mason Dixon's on the phone. We'll tell him that I'm coming home. And buy me a bottle of bonded whiskey. Gonna talk until dawn. There's a brand new fountain in the town square, a brand new statue too. Well, the place may change, but the faces are the same, ones I always knew. Mason Dixon's on the line. We'll tell him that I'm doing fine. Buy me a bottle of bonded whiskey, gonna talk over old time. Mason Dixon's on the line. Yes, tell him that I'm doing fine. And buy me a bottle of bonded whiskey. Gonna talk over old times. Gonna sing a few songs about Jesus with a good friend of mine.
There's Pat Elger with the Woodstock Mountains Review. The first time I heard Pat, actually, up in Woodstock in early 1977. And that was the beginning of a very long and very productive, wonderful friendship. And another new face in the Woodstock Mountains group was the bass player, Roly Sally. And he had a song that also just blew me away.
Leaves were falling just like embers, in colors red and gold, they set us on fire, burning just like a moonbeam in our eyes. Somebody said only swang in the world by the tail, bouncing over a white cloud, killing the blues. Now I am guilty of something. I hope you never.
That's Roly Sally with the Woodstock Mountains Review. That was the first time I'd ever met Roly. This was in early 1977. And, of course, that song just blew us all away. And it has had a long and wonderful life. The most recent incarnation was Alison Krauss and Robert Plant doing a beautiful, beautiful recording of it. And so the Woodstock, that was really the beginning of the Woodstock Mountains Review as a group that was going to go out and play and stay together and various. We kept the core group of about eight of us together for several years. And shortly after this recording, a bunch of us went to Japan, had an amazing tour there. So that was a world that I wasn't totally leaving behind. When I went to Nashville, I always felt connected to this group of people, and this was a wonderful way to stay connected. But back in Nashville, I did take another break to write a book with Eric von Schmidt, which was about our life in Cambridge, called Baby, Let Me Follow You Down, which took part of about the first 6 months of 1978. So I was out of the picture there for a while in Nashville. But almost the day I came back and walked into the kitchen at Jack Clements, I met a fella with curly hair. He was from England. His name was Tony Newman. And he reminded me that he'd met me. He was playing with Jeff Beck when they played the Newport Jazz Festival in that very fateful year in 1969. Back then, he had sort of Louis XIV hair, very down to his shoulders. But Tony was a world-class drummer. He'd just been playing with David Bowie and Mark Bolan in England and had come to Nashville kind of just check things out. And here he was in Jack Clements' kitchen. And we went into Jack's office, and one thing led to another. Usually Jack loved to start the day by getting his guitar out and strumming away, and another guitar would be taken off the wall. And pretty soon myself and Jack and maybe one or two others would start strumming songs and singing and getting into some kind of a groove for the morning. And then Philip Donnelly, this Irish guitar player who I'd seen playing with Lee Clayton, came in, and Rachel Peer, who'd been around by this time had connected with John Prine. She was the bass player. And at some point, Jack said, "Why don't you all go upstairs?" The engineer up there, Kurt Allen, was always ready to go. And he said, "Why don't you just fool around and do something?" So this is what we came up with. Now, there were a few things added to this, but the basic track was what we went upstairs and fooled around with. It is the No Expectations.
It's gone. We'll be right back.
Oh, there we go, off into the distance. I've got to tell you, I mean, that was the first time I played with Tony and Philip and Rachel. I'd played with Rachel before, but that was the first time the three of us, three of them and myself had gotten together. And I never, ever got tired of playing with those people. We just, Philip Donnelly had a fantastic thing in his fingers. He just had a grip on those strings that made them sing. And he would, we used to joke in our live gigs, we would never let it go until Philip had actually levitated. He would just start hopping, his feet would come off the ground. And it wasn't a successful gig if Philip hadn't levitated. And in that particular track, I'd say he did. And he, and then Jack Clement and Kurt Allen built on that track and put the horns, and that would be a pretty good approximation of Cowboys Ragtime Band at its height. We did have three horns and a big rhythm section, and we could really turn it on if we had to. And we could also play Like When I Dream, which I played in the last show. So it was just enormous fun coming into Jack Clement's house every morning, because you never knew what was going to happen. And not too long after that, he hired an English bass player who had worked with Tony, with David Bowie, named Herbie Flowers. He was like one of the very top bass players in England. And he hired Herbie to come over to Nashville for a whole month and do whatever Jack felt like doing. And the same scenario developed one morning. We were in his office strumming along. He said, why don't you go up? He said to me, why don't you go upstairs and warm up the band? So I pulled out this there was a wonderful duet act in hillbilly music, Johnny and Jack. Johnny was married to Kitty Wells, and he and Jack Anglin wrote a lot of great songs together and made a lot of wonderful records together, Ashes of Love, and just a lot of things. And this is one of their songs, South in New Orleans. And once again, we just went upstairs, and the tape machine was rolling, and this is what happened.
Down south in New Orleans, prettiest girl I've ever seen, sparkling eyes and lips so sweet, we make love to the rumba beat. My ship's at anchor, my suitcase is packed, one-way ticket ain't a coming back. Life's a pleasure and love's no dream, down south in New Orleans. My dark-eyed baby, I'm on my way back into your arms to stay. I'm tired of work, I wanna play, and I love you night and day. Down south, prettiest girl I've ever seen, sparkling eyes and lips so sweet, we make love to the rumba beat. My ship's at anchor, my suitcase is back, one-way ticket ain't a coming back. Life's a pleasure and love's no dream, down south in New Orleans. Oh, I love your smile, shine so bright, your beautiful teeth light up the night. Come on, skipper, I'm ready to ride, I'm only waiting for the tide. Down south in New Orleans, prettiest girl I've ever seen, sparkling eyes and lips so sweet, we make love to the rumba beat. Our ship's at anchor, my suitcase is packed, one-way ticket ain't a coming back. Life's a pleasure and love no dream, down south in New Orleans.
South in New Orleans.
That's the great Lloyd Green playing the dobro on out of there, and Dennis Soli, one of the members of the ragtime band, on the piccolo there. And that was another beautiful thing about just being around Nashville at this time, and especially Jack's. All these wonderful musicians would just kind of drop in, and if there was something going on, they'd join in. And Lloyd Green is one of the great, great session men in Nashville. He once told me he'd played over 12,000 sessions. And but he was always ready to play, and a real gentleman and a wonderful person. And on the other record, the No Expectations, the fiddle player was the great Buddy Spiker, one of the best in the world. And they were all there just to join in and help you out, which is a hallmark of this era in Nashville and at Jack's place in particular, I think. I was so lucky to be part of this group of people. And another great aspect of this was that Jack was always ready to let you use the studio if you had something to do. And a singer from Boston, who had not originally from Boston, but had just come from Boston, named Pat McLaughlin. He used to play at the Plow and the Stars on Mass Avenue in Cambridge, where I played often with John Lincoln Wright. And he came down and just to sort of see what would happen, just like I had a couple of years earlier. And on one of our Woodstock Mountains tours, we went to Europe, and these Italians approached me and said that there was a label in Milan would like to put some music out by me. And I was quite surprised by this, but I took them up on the offer. And so those cuts of No Expectations and Down South and about eight others showed up on an album on Appaloosa Records in Milan. And I started going over to Italy to play with Bill Keith and Peter Rowan. And I developed a relationship with a wonderful man there named Franco Ratti. And he said, if you ever come across anything, please let me listen to it. He loved American music. And so Pat McLaughlin showed up, and I used to go see him at a little joint called the Springwater, and by midnight that place would be rocking. And he reminded me somewhat of Van Morrison in his approach, but he is very unique. And here's the title of this album that we did called Wind It Up, Wind It On Up, pardon me.
Thank you. gonna change the whole human race. I said, lighten it up, boys. You're winding it up for your own good time. Oh, no. Make a loop. Get to somewhere by 5 and control. Get yourself a drink and some dive. Get your mind made up to be getting it on with your favorite country star. Son, she said, be your own kind of man and retire with a dollar in your hand. What she meant was be winding it up when your work is done.
Well, there's Jay Patton taking us out on Wind It On Up with Pat McLaughlin. And the band was Dwight Scott, who was the keyboard player in Cowboys Ragtime Band. He was playing the B3 and the piano. And Larry Paxton, a wonderful, wonderful bass player. And I can't remember. It seemed like every weekend they were at this little joint called the Springwater. It was a very funky bar, but it suited the music, I must say. And it was packed every time. And I just loved I love Pat. And he still plays with me. Here we are 35 more years later. I can't get enough of him. He's just got a great rhythm in his playing. He plays guitar, and I just love his songwriting and his voice. So let's go with one more here. This is called A Moment of Weakness.
Haven't not read your gospel. Haven't not seen your light. Quickly I did hear my best friend. Easily slept all right. Woman, the arms of a woman, he liked to call his good wife. Still in a moment of weakness, I will look back on that. I'm down on the floor to watch that moon rise. What is a bandit need? I said that, darling, if it is your eyes, what is a song for me? Something about how the time flies while it just walks around you. Still in a moment of weakness, darling, I can't see my way clear. Still in a moment of weakness, I'll fly away. I'm up on the wings of some holy bird. I'm out on that sunshiny day. Family. Before you and I have a life of our own, I go about anyway.
strong will survive. Still in a moment of weakness, all that a strong will survive.
There you go, Pat McLaughlin, in a moment of weakness. That was an album called Wind It On Up, came out on Appaloosa Records in Italy, and it had it's probably hard to find these days. But as you can hear, that is just an absolutely live recording. And that was what Jack Clement's studio was all about. It was in the attic of a house. This house was where Jack lived, and it was a big, good-sized house and had a great big attic in it. And he split the attic in half, so one side of it was a control room, and the other half was just a great big attic, you know, with a peaked roof and some nooks and crannies, and there was a place for the sound to go, so you could set people up almost in a circle around each other and let it go, and you didn't have to dampen everything down too much. And it was a wonderful place to play music. You just felt like playing when you were up there. And there was no window into the control room, so you wouldn't see what was going on in there, see if the engineer was nodding off or going to sleep or reading the paper or talking on the phone to his girlfriend or any of those things. And so you were playing when you were in that room, and the engineer, if he wasn't talking to his girlfriend on the phone, was actually listening to the speakers and not looking at anybody. And I think that was a very unusual feature of this studio, and I just got to really like it. It enabled me, and I was, as you may have gathered by now, I was sort of drifting into being a producer. And what does a producer do? But you listen, and you make sort of quick decisions about whether to do the song again or whether to fix something later on or whatever have you. And so I was getting into this, and that studio was just a wonderful place to learn. And Jack was also teaching me, getting me to teach myself how to run the control board. So I was spending all day, every day in the recording studio. Sometimes I was playing guitar. Sometimes I was singing backup. Sometimes I was doing some engineering, sometimes producing. So I got very, very comfortable in this environment, and I was free to use the studio, as I said, if Jack wasn't using it for his own purposes. And he had a publisher up in Canada who started sending artists down to be recorded. And one of them was a trio, and they called themselves the Garrison Brothers, three vocalists, two of them played guitar and one played upright bass. So I chose some musicians to join them. One of them was Tony Newman on the drums, and Philip Donnelly on electric guitar, Marty Stewart, who at this point hadn't become a big star, but he'd been in the bluegrass world since he was a little kid, and I'd known him for a long time, and a wonderful mandolin player and a wonderful person besides that. And Kurt Allen, the engineer, had been working with Marty, so he joined in, and Lamar Hill, a keyboard player who'd recently added himself to our group of players around Jack's, played keyboards. And this was the beginning of a sound that I was developing for folky-type records, a mixture of acoustic and electric and some drums, and I really liked the way this record came out. I think the name of the album was called Songs and Stories with the Garrison Brothers, came out on Boot Records up in Canada, and was quite a successful record for them, and it was a help for me as well. Listen to this song called Silver Sea.
Outside, the rain is softly falling. In the distance, I can hear a foghorn sound. I pull my blankets just a little closer. My mind is on a ship that's outward bound, on a voyage through a memory. Sailing on a silver sea, the moon and stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells a tale of all the always been a part of me. I can feel the salt water running through my veins. I think of all the places where my ship will take me. But the thought of your gentle whispers gives me strength. On a voyage through a memory, sailing on the silver sea, the moon and stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells a tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. But when I rise, look out by a wall of gray is right before my eyes. I can see a clock where time is slowly ticking. How I wish that I could make my life here fly. On a voyage through a memory, sailing on a silver sea, the moon and stars above now bright and shine. Sails is a lullaby, tells a tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. On the voyage through a memory, sailing on the silver sea, the moon and stars above now brightly shine. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby. Of all the things that I was glad to leave behind. The wind that fills the sails is a lullaby that tells a tale of all the things that I was glad to leave behind.
There you have it. Silver Sea by the Garrison Brothers. They're ready to go with another one, but I want to just tell you about it first. Kevin Evans, who was the lead singer in the group, was also a fine songwriter. And this song we're going to listen to now has become a standard in the Irish repertoire. Kevin is originally from Ireland, but moved to Nova Scotia at some point in his life and is still up there. But this song, The Orchard, has become part of the Irish repertoire. Here it is, the Garrison Brothers.
When I was 9, in harvest time, I crossed the orchard wall. The moon was bright and the apples ripe upon the ground did fall. We filled our sacks and we made our way back. More adventures soon to find in an orchard 'neath the cumaras, in the sweet Dungarvan time. I crossed the orchard wall again when I was just 13. It was, I think, to be my first drink
of cider and poutine. I remember well, it tasted like hell, and I hoped the pain would end soon in an orchard 'neath the cumras. The sweet Dungarvan moon. When I was 19 years of age, I crossed the wall with pride. My Annie, fair with the nut brown hair, was walking by my side. All the clothes came off. We turned and we tossed. Our innocence was gone in an orchard 'neath the cumbras. In the sweet Dungarvan dawn. And when I was 21 years old, I married Annie there. The apple blossoms in the tree looked better in her hair. And when the day was over, there was a drunk for every tree in an orchard 'neath the cumbras. By the sweet Dungarvan seas, I'm 45. I'm much alive, and children have I 4. 3 girls and 1 fine strapping son. And I have hopes for more. I teach them of their lives ahead, and I have plenty to tell still in an orchard 'neath the cumbras. By the sweet Dungarvan hills, I'm 91. My life is done, and my Annie's long since gone. My days were good as well they should, but it's time that I passed on. And when I die, I want to lie beneath the whispering trees in an orchard 'neath the cumbras. In a sweet Dungarvan breeze. And when I die, I want to lie in the air and land and fall in an orchard 'neath the cumbras. My sweet
Dungarvan. In an orchard, neath the cumras, in my sweet Dungarvan home,
Kevin Eggers there with The Orchard and the Garrison Brothers. That came out on Boot Records, called Songs and the Stories, the album was called. And that, of course, that song has become a classic in the Irish repertoire that Kevin wrote. And so that was one of the various kinds of music I was dealing with at Jack's. You know, it was not one size fits all. This wasn't cookie cutter music that we were doing. We never knew exactly what we were going to do. And one of the great blessings, I guess, of my life has been my friendship with John Prine. And John came to Nashville around the time I was down in Florida working with Eric von Schmidt on our book, Baby, Let Me Follow You Down. And when I came back to Nashville, John was ensconced with Cowboy trying to make an album. And I had met John at a festival up in Maine, I guess in the summer of 1976 or so. And we spent some quality time in the bar. We were there for 3 days, and he and Steve Goodman were well on their way by this point, and they were both playing on this festival. So that was a great pleasure to get to meet John at that time and hear him and Steve, but I hadn't seen him since. And he'd been in Nashville for, I guess, a couple of 3 months by this point, and he and Rachel Peer had taken up together, and Jack and he were working on this album, and the album never did come out. Steve Goodman finished the album, or actually made a whole other album called Bruised Orange. That's another story. But at any rate, this little group of ours, Tony Newman and Philip Donnelly and Rachel and myself, and we were playing, just backing people up on sessions. And so John, we started playing with John on his songs. And he had been on a couple of major labels, on Atlantic Records and Elektra Records, and he was in between labels. And Steve Goodman was as well, and we know that Steve got leukemia, and he understood that he didn't have all the time in the world to wait for another big record deal, so he started his own label called Red Pajamas. Steve had a great sense of humor about what he was going through with cancer, but he would never let it get him down, and that was the name of his record label, because he was in Red Pajamas quite a bit of the time at this point in his life. At any rate, John was riding around with me in the car one afternoon, and he said, "You know, I think I better start a record label of my own." And I said, "Really?" I said, "What would you call it?" He said, "I think I've got the name already picked out, Oh Boy Records." And it was after the Buddy Holly. And so the very first Oh Boy record that we made and it's Oh Boy, I believe, 001. This is a real collector's item, friends, if you ever find it. We made it in July, I guess, of 1980. And it was I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
Christmas toys all over the place. Little Johnny wears a funny smile on his face. Johnny has a secret, and a secret he must share. He wants to tell somebody, so he tells his teddy bear.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. Well, she didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. Then I saw Mommy take a Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. What a laugh it would have been if Daddy had walked in and saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus last night.
Well, I guess you could tell we were having fun. You might have heard some tap dancing going on there. You weren't imagining it. That was Rachel and her brother. We discovered that they could tap dance, so we had to have it. And the piano player there was the legendary Del Wood, who had a big million-selling record on Down Yonder, and she was a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And she came over and overdubbed that piano, and she said, "Well, I'm just a cat house piano player," and I think we put that on the record. She said, "Oh, I didn't want you to say that." It was a little embarrassed, but it was great fun doing that. That is Oh Boy 001. So that's the way we got Oh Boy Records started. And we were doing quite a few demos of John's songs over a period of time, and he asked me if I'd help him pull it all together in an album, and we did. It's called Aimless Love, and here's the title.
He's just a small fry, a bit too gun-shy to have his heart touched without a glove. He looks at strangers as potential dangers, trying to steal his aimless love. But love has no mind, it can't spill uncapped. Never seen a heart shaver like a valentine. For if love knew him, he'd walk up to him and introduce him to a nameless love. I've been out walking, got a pillow talking to anyone has a time for me. There are some folks, they think that love chokes and ties and keeps them from being free. Love has no mind, it can't spill unkind. It's never seen a heart
shaped like a valentine. For if love knew you, it'd walk up to you and introduce you to a nameless love. Look at strangers as potential dangers, trying to steal your aimless love. Love has no mind, it can't spare long care. It's never seen a heart shiver like a valentine. Oh, if love knew you, it'd walk up to you and introduce you to a nameless love. And introduce you to a nameless love.
That's John Prine and all of us doing Aimless Love. I'm just going to go out on that. We've run out of time once again. This is Jim Rooney. I'm in it for the long run. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time with more stories about my time in Nashville and continue the saga. Thanks a million.
It can't spill uncapped. It's never seen a heart shiver like a